Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
If you use your mind to study reality, you won't understand either your mind or reality. If you study reality without using your mind, you'll understand both, Bodhidharma. Interestingly, the section of the rosary that mentions karma is associated with the Bodhi bead. The word Bodhi comes from the root bud, to become aware of, to know, to be conscious. The awakened bead invites us to become aware of a universal context of existence far beyond conditioned human comprehension. An ego self-consciousness is ignorant of any perspective other than its own. Identified with this limited conception of ourselves, we suffer when our desires are not fulfilled, when what I want doesn't come to pass, erroneously attributing the cause of our inability to influence the course of events to my lack of capabilities or the indifference of the universe. But just because I experience the world through a personal point of view doesn't mean that's the way the world is. The Bodhi bead articulates some of the operating principles of reality as seen by those who transcend a personal orientation and sought to study reality without using the mind. What they saw: I am born of karma. A particular form I happen to identify with coalesces in this here now. I am heir to karma. This form is a continuity that comes with an inheritance of tendencies. I abide in karma. To abide is to accept, to live in accordance with. As a part of the cosmic unfolding, all forms are subject to and governed by universal laws. I am supported by karma. Support in the sense of to bear, to form the base of, suggests that the basis of one's existence is a universal context. Whatever I do creates karma. Every deed has a consequence, so every action is creative and contributes to the universal unfolding. And I will surely experience this karma. As part of a universal unfolding, experiencing the effects of this creative cause is inevitable. The teaching of the Bodhi bead is that the awareness of karma can liberate us from taking life personally. If karma is the cosmic cause, there is no reason to indulge a self-hating condemnation of not being able to craft the perfect life that the good right person should be able to create. If what unfolds is influenced by everyone's actions, perhaps there is no need to struggle to change circumstances or control outcomes. If I is the sum total of past tendencies, why entertain a beating for repeating a self-preserving pattern of behavior? In short, there is no reason to live life making it all about me. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jan in California, and I'm so happy to be here.
Hey, Jan. I'm happy to be here, too, and I'm happy you're here. What's going on?
Well, I am so appreciating looking at karma, and my experience so far has been, in practicing with it, that it's become much lighter, that my perception of karma, of what that is or how it plays out in life, has just, the weight's been taken off of it. And particularly in the area of not taking things personally. So I'm just going to share real quickly what happened.
Yeah, please.
At the beginning of the week, I'm trying to make it brief. My husband and I had just returned from a trip. We were getting out of the car. There was a strange noise from the car. And I said, I don't know what that was. And my husband said, I don't know what you did. And I always hear that, and I always have heard that, I don't know what you did, as you did something wrong. I've always heard it that way. And I said, I've asked you not to say that, and because it's usually with technical stuff, and this was different. And he said, and he said to me, I'm not blaming you for anything. And he explained where he was coming from, and like the cloud opened up along with care with on this one, Sherry, that guidance you gave me a long time ago was, as an Enneagram 1, even a raised eyebrow can set things off, or something like that.
Yep.
And
that sounds right.
It all came together. It was, I mean, for years.
Yeah. It all makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense in every direction, right? Because I don't know what you did. Well, it's really easy to hear that as your fault, right? You've done something wrong. Or it's easy to hear, well, let's see, I don't know what action you took, so I don't have all of the pieces of the puzzle here.
Yeah,
I don't have all the information, so tell me what you did, and I'll put it with what I saw. And yeah, and we can just, it's so perfect. So you two have been doing this dance for a while. And to see how two people could get such completely different experiences, live them out for years, and have no idea what was actually going on. It's liberating and humbling at the same time.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. And one other piece to it, and this just widened the scene. In the last couple of days, I got a couple friends. I was helping with the situation between them, and they both said independently just how kind and generous they thought I was being. And I heard that, and I go, they're talking about me? And I got to see the other side of it, of the taking personally, or not because it was taken personally, that couldn't be accepted, that life had just informed me of what needed to happen. That's where I came from, and they were saying you were sort of, you know. And so I had to see, it's just they're expressing appreciation to life, but it just happens to be through me. I don't need to take that personally.
Right. Well, yes. And so that's the old Zen, no praise, no blame.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So once we get that, exactly as you say, then on either, we can see how ego wants to use either side of that against us. So your husband says something, that's a negative. Your friends say something, that's a positive. Well, you can't accept that. That would be egocentric. Well, you certainly don't need to accept what his judgmental opinion is, because, right? It's just like we can see ego out there just in all directions, pushing it away, making it about whatever the karmic story is that I got into.
Yes. Well, anyway, it's been a very full 2 days. And
and happy.
I am very happy. And I'm so appreciative of, I'm appreciative of every week and all that we get to see. But this one just blew up a big karmic. I felt like I cleaned out a major room in the house, you know, that I didn't. But that it got cleaned out. Yeah.
That's right. Well, and again, it's cumulative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that these rooms that we're cleaning up have been a mess for a long time, and basically, what we've been getting ready for is the willingness, the joyful willingness to take it on, and then once that is in place, we realize, oh, gosh, that was simple. In my head, it was daunting, but when I'm actually ready to approach it, it just kind of falls apart in front of me, and we just stand there and laugh.
Truly, truly.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jan. Oh, I just love it, Sherry, because every aspect of the recitation was in that, right? All of it. I'm born of karma. I'm heir to it. I keep acting out these tendencies. I'm supported in seeing through those tendencies. And when I do see through them, I offer the merit of that act to all beings, because I'm free, and so is everyone else.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant. And I love the way you put it, that people who have seen beyond egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, this is what they've realized in moving past that. And that's what we're doing. We're moving past egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hatred. And so we are then in a position to see the same thing and to recognize it, mm-hmm. to see it for what it is. And again,
and
it's not
the shape of the process.
That's right. That's exactly right. And to realize it's not a big mysterious thing. It's as simple as he said that, I heard that, he meant that, I see that. Happiness is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm. And boy, does it take willingness, which is what we're going to come to.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. And a lot of looking to open that mm-hmm. aperture wide enough mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the intelligence, the wisdom, love, and compassion to be able to get through to us.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it's very patient.
Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Oh, thank you so much. This is Lori calling from Asheville. Hello. Hi. I'm just fascinated by the deck of cards. It's so interesting because of kind of knowing, well, there's a karmic pattern, there's conditioning. But to actually, you know, write it down to recognize, oh, and that's how that plays out. And so it's so helpful. It's like this illumination coming through. And the other part of it that I've been practicing with is the consequential aspect of it, the feeling bad that comes from getting identified with it, playing it out, regretting it, all that stuff, and then the feeling bad. And for whatever reason, I know that it's been years since we stopped feeling bad, but I don't know, it's still going to happen. And to be able to kind of nip it, go, oh, there's the beginning of the feeling bad, and not being willing to do that, to say, you know, this is my practice, not to feel bad. That happened. There was a karmic expression, and without the feeling bad, it's really hard to stay activated in it. At least that's how it seems to me. So that it's easier to disidentify.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So two really, really subtle but important points, right? The first one being, I can say I have a karmic tendency towards XYZ, but that doesn't capture the total awareness of the karma, right? Till you do a process uh-huh. map and you actually see how it plays out. So identifying the karmic tendency doesn't fully identify the action consequence pattern that we're repeating over and over again. So by actually writing it down, it's possible to see that if I have a karmic tendency towards, say, being responsible, that actually has a series of steps that is a suffering process, which ends in feeling bad. Yeah?
The consequence of
acting that karma is feeling bad, which then perpetuates the cycle because it doesn't change anything for me to feel bad. It doesn't change anything for me to know that I have this karmic tendency if I don't see it as a process that ends in feeling bad and actively pursue disintegrating that process, right? And so the disintegration of the process always begins with ending the feeling bad because mm-hmm. the payoff to ego is what gets cut off. I mean, we say this all the time when we look at the battering cycle, right?
Yeah.
Where we wake up as a self-hate. Where we end the battering cycle is the self-hate, so we don't move into the decision to be perfect.
Yeah, and just to do that, to see the whole process around it is so important because it, like what initiates it, you know, like being responsible, which is not one that I wrote down, but it's a big one too. I'm excited about yet another one. And then that means that this is the behavior that goes with it, and these are the mm-hmm. actions that get taken, and then this is the result mm-hmm. or not. Oh, no, mm-hmm. so it didn't end up that way, even though I was doing so all of that. And then how it just keeps getting like the neurons firing around the karmic pattern. And then when it's interrupted, like I've been so intentional around, I'm not going to go into that part of it. I'm not going to go into the feeling bad. I'll see what happened, and I could see sort of how it happened, once again getting talked into something. And then there's so much more like space and energy to be able to find the freedom from it. because there's willingness to look at it, to see it without, like, mm-hmm. oh, that's a bad thing, you shouldn't have done that. It's just such a different way to explore it.
Mm-hmm. So if we get to a conditioned notion of karma, karma is bad, and you're wrong for being victim to your karmic propensity, is a non-solution. So we pay attention, we do a practice of awareness to actually support ourselves to look. And when we look, we sort of, you know, it's the saying like, I'm angry, but what is your process of being angry? And when you do a process map, you break it down, right? You get so much more information about how it happens. And that is empowering, because that means that if I'm aware where whatever point at which the process is unfolding, I can choose not to indulge it. And then the life comes back to, the life force comes back to life. And it is an empowering way to dissolve the karma, right? I'm not going to act out of that tendency. I'm not going to perpetuate that pattern. And I'm certainly not going to feel bad and perpetuate the suffering associated with the pattern.
Yeah. Wow, all of that. Wow. There's something, too, and how this assignment was written out to, it's like neutralizing. It's like not taking personal that this is the karmic stuff that's around me that sort of, you know, gets activated. Because, and the assignments really make that so clear. So now it's like I'm really much more curious instead of, mm-hmm. oh, my God, here's more karma. It's like, oh, wow, I could see this one. I could see where, you know, where it's been, how it's lived in my life, and also to see the path that goes, oh, there's a way through this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So as long as we have the total picture of karma, which is represented by all the beads, I mean, all the lines of the daily of the Bodhi bead, we have the ability to see it as the happy, blessed opportunity it is.
Yeah, and to do that with an open heart, because, you know, I can get like a little bit sarcastic around that or something, like, oh, yeah, right, happy, blessed. But it's like, oh, yeah, happy, blessed opportunity, because this is freedom. And there's just all this energy of enthusiasm and gratitude that goes with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Life is curious. Ego is sarcastic. Yeah. Right, that too can be one of the things. Oh, yeah. So this is how we act. I just have to, it's that intellectual understanding that produces that reaction, not the actual experience, right? Because the actual experience releases the gratitude.
It really does. Yeah, thank you so much for all of it. Thank you for the assignment, and that just for us being able to meet to share the insights that we're having and the experiences that, you know, are also beneficial to me, I think to all of us. So, yeah, much gratitude.
Thanks, Lori.
Yeah, thank you.
Much to love in that. My favorite, of course, is the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That when we turn that corner and realize feeling bad, only 2013, Lori, we made that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
10 years we've been not feeling bad. Once we turn that corner and realize feeling bad is only ego serving ego, that's all it is, then it's really exciting. And talk about pick up the pace. My goodness, it's like Lori said, oh, well, what else? What other karma is there? What else am I not seeing that I can see and be free of?
Mm-hmm. It really underlines spiritual practice begins when the beating stops.
Yes. Yeah. Because until then, we're just in service to ego. And it takes a great deal of, it takes a great deal of everything to turn that corner. But it is what we're required to do if we want to choose love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris in Three Rivers.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm just so grateful to be alive and to be practicing with Sangha. And,
Me too. Me too. I know the feeling.
I mean, just wow. And I've been having a lot of fun with making these cards. I've always been a person who likes playing cards, and usually by myself, but solitaire is an old game I used to play.
This is a great solitaire game, isn't it? This is the perfect ultimate solitaire game. Yeah.
And so I'm homesick, hopefully I stay homesick, but with COVID, and just a big karmic card has been procrastination. And so even just with calling in, I thought, I have to call in. I mean, this is, of course, I don't want to, but I'm here, I'm home, I'm alive because of practice and because of, I feel like I'm just in eternal gratitude to our practice and to you and to my willingness to keep coming back. And so here I am, having had another nightmare, consequences, self-hate, the whole shebang.
You know, Chris, I think I've said this to you before. If you don't straighten up, you're going to have to move to SQUIM.
No kidding.
And that's what I threaten people with. I always used to threaten people with, you're going to have to move to the monastery. If you don't start taking better care of her, you're going to have to move to the monastery, right? Now
absolutely.
It's SQUIM.
I would so love to. I just feel like I have so much financial debt that it's impossible. But, you know, who knows? Well, that's in the head. And so I'm just right now today and for the last few weeks, been getting so much support. I finally got a sponsor, and I'm doing this, you know, I'm working the program and just practicing and just you know, not practicing, not getting out of that self-hate and those
turning
things.
The corner.
Yeah.
Turning the corner and staying on that track, right? That road, moving down that path. That's the opportunity in all of this, right?
Yes, it's such mm-hmm. a happy, blessed opportunity. You know, it really is.
Yeah. Well, you started off, you know, happy to be alive.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that you know, we've known each other a long time, so we've had any number of conversations along these lines. The importance, the vital necessity of realizing that ego is not just some benign little annoyance that kind of makes you want to feel, it'll kill you if it can.
Yep.
Right? And the more we go up against it, the more it's going to try to get the upper hand again. And so just that sobering moment of, wow, you know, it would kill me if it could. It's tried. It keeps trying. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to let it. I like being alive.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and I love this week, especially of our assignment. It's just so helpful to get that reminder that this is not personal. That this is not my fault, or, you know, like I'm bad.
That's right.
Keep effing
That's
up,
right.
You know, stuff.
Yeah. In fact, Chris, we spiritual types would make these annoying kinds of observations that we don't get these kinds of challenges if we're not ready for them. You know, people who aren't ready to take on a lot don't tend to get a lot. But people who are actually ready to take on a lot get really, really challenged.
I'm all in. I'm here for it. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Good. Now this is where I say again, you know, stay close.
Yes. Right?
Stay close. Let us know. Let us be the support.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. 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 Fun with those cards.
you too. Have a great day.
All right.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Chris. Bye bye.
Thanks, Chris. Sorry, Chris, I can't mute you. If you would just mute yourself or call in again, please.
Okay.
She'll be quiet.
All right. And here's our next caller. We're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, this is Vanessa in North Carolina.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Ashwini. Let's see. Well, right before the call, I picked up the recorder and I was looking at my or the karma around participating and, you know, feeling like I have to participate and being told that the same, so being told that I have to participate and that I can't participate because what I have to say, you know, I don't have anything good to say, blah, 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 blah. And what was interesting about it when I picked up the recorder, because I've thought, you know, I've thought about it and I've looked at that, I feel like, a lot. But what I saw with that one was, oh, okay. So I could see being someone who sort of gets over that, right? Like, I could see that. And then what I saw was, kind of more excitingly, maybe, was that by seeing, like, I am actually the thing who, let's see, let me start that again. So I could see getting over that, but I feel like I could still be a person who got over that karma, as opposed to what I then saw, which was like, I am something, I don't know what, that received that karma. And so that felt different.
Uh-huh. So let me see if I'm tracking.
Sorry.
The content is so helpful to unravel the insight, right? Because it's working with content that allows us to see the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the process is around participation. Should I get on the show or should I not get on the show? Because I'm told I should participate and I'm told I don't want to participate. And
right.
So what does the practitioner do? Believes neither of those choices or does not believe the conversation and picks up the recorder to explore what's really going on underneath that, right? And so there is the ability to see that you can witness that you can witness the person who feels resistant and the person who feels that they should do the right thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the awareness that, all right, I can also see that sometimes there's the identification with the person who gets over both of those things and participates or doesn't participate. It doesn't matter, right, what the action, what the karmic action is, but that too could be a person.
Yeah.
And then it dropped in suddenly, oh, wait a second. What is what received the karma, which basically I project, right, Vanessa, drops us below the conditioned narrative where the choices are only to be a person. What really happened is I was liberated from all persons by that simple insight. It didn't feel like that, but that's what happened, right? The insight dropped me to looking at reality without the mind.
Yeah.
And this is an unfolding. And now what arises out of that, we might not consciously be aware of, but it does change our relationship from having to be the person who participates even if they don't want to, or who doesn't participate and is a bad person, or who gets so, no. What we are is what's beyond being a person. And we receive the karma of, within quotes, being drawn towards being a person, but we don't have to act that out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's liberation. It's so subtle, right?
Yeah. So what sometimes drops in around, like when I'm saying the recitation, is it's like after you sacrifice, or I say, you know, sacrifice all thoughts, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this emptiness, and then you have the bead of with all the karma, and it's like all this stuff gets draped over, and it kind of creates this form, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But the emptiness is still there. It's just, it's very, yeah. It's That seems like
contains it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's so funny. I have exactly that same experience. And once the submission happens, right, when we've seeded all thoughts, pressures, tensions, and desires, there's a beat. In that beat is the wisdom of the Bodhi bead, which recognizes, oh, we're all engaged in that process, that oscillation between being a person and not being a person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's all happening in this container. And, oh, I'm that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I'm that. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of, I guess what you wrote, like, it's like, here's, and it's sort of like, and by the way, this is going to happen. Like, it's like, it's like the beads are talking to you or the wisdom or whatever. It's like, and you just did that and now this as well. And you get that oscillation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. And so that, and then, you know, we've got one more thing, one more line of the recitation before we get back to the beginning. Right.
Yeah.
And then say it all again. There's that circular nature of the wheel of karma.
Yeah. It's been wonderful to explore the recitation, the rosary. It's been amazing. So, thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Okay, this is what I hope everyone will take from that conversation. Okay, because that conversation was kind of the whole deal. When the voice in your head says, don't call in, you have nothing to say. Call in. For God's sake, call in and say it. Because that conversation was the whole thing. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so no wonder the voices talking to Vanessa said, don't, keep quiet about that. Yeah. Yeah. So as long as I'm a person, then I am going to suffer over all of the ideas and beliefs and assumptions about what a person is and does and what it all means. But it's possible to drop below that or go above that or around that or whatever direction you want to go in and have a completely different experience of what we are and what's possible for us. Brilliant.
Well, I hope everyone takes that encouragement to call in tomorrow and put themselves in the queue and call into open air and put themselves in the queue today.
Exactly.
So that we can have some more of these enlightened conversations.
Exactly. What a group of people. My goodness gracious. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy. Thanks, Jerry.